This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Mack Weldon, baby. Yeah. Talking about Mack Weldon, I'm wearing Mack Weldon socks. I'm wearing Mack Weldon underwear. And no, creeps, I'm not going to DM you any pictures of it. That's right. Get out of my DMs asking for shots of my feet. Don't nobody want to see my feet? I'm carrying around over 300 pounds all day long. But you know what? My feet aren't that gross because I'm wearing Mack Weldon socks. They make my feet sweat way less than, I mean, of course my feet sweat. I'm a fat fucking monster. But with Mack Weldon, my feet sweat way less. I got swamp ass is like completely fucking lowered. Why am I cursing so much? That's okay. I'm allowed to curse in these ads. In some of them. The underwear is comfortable. They have a bunch of different styles. The silver is like probably my favorite. I wish the silver came in more crazy patterns. You hear me, Mack Weldon? And it's all antimicrobial, which means they eliminate odor. They're comfortable. The waistbands work. They come in size double XL and they fit my weird body where I have a big gut, a little dick, and no ass. Do yourself a favor. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off using promo code Mighty. MackWeldon.com, get 20% off using promo code Mighty. Guys, you can wear these Mack Weldons to work, to work out, to work in, to work it all out, to twerk if you have to. Promo code Mighty for 20% off. What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. Johnny G. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, hit him with it. Perfect. And also joining me, first-time guest, guys, put your hands together. Clap wherever you are on the 405 for Chase Mitchell. Chase, thanks for coming on, bro.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You can talk as close to that as you want. The better, the closer, the better. Yeah.
Yeah. That was truly something to see that in person.
At this point, I mostly just do it to hear the guest go, wow, that was cool. Like, I'm so...
Yeah, I wondered how many fuckboys I was going to get for my episode.
Yeah.
Also, a true honor to hear Arthur's silence in person.
He really, and he insists, I think because the microphone must smell like my breath at this point, because whenever I put it towards him, he always goes, and then turns back to whatever bone he's destroying or guest's leg he's licking. Chase, thanks for coming to the High and Mighty Studios, man.
Absolutely.
I think it should be said, for the listeners, I don't always get stoned on this podcast, but I often do. Chase, under the auspices that he thought we were going to maybe have to smoke weed, did bring two tall boys of Miller Lite taped together. And we are recording at 11:45 a.m. Okay, on the Monday after Thanksgiving.
We don't need to tell, you know, keep some of the mystery alive.
Oh, you listen to this podcast. There's no mystery. I have like eight thoughts and they all have been recorded.
Yeah, there's a like a liquor store right across my house and I went over there. I was like, oh, I'll get a beer. And I didn't realize that this was a method under which they sell beer, like two tall boys duct taped together.
I bet you it's illegal because that means they're opening six packs of tall boys and taping two together so that
this is all an elaborate sting operation. I'm trying to get that place shut down.
That'd be awesome if like guys fast roped into the studio and started like, we got them, boys. Zip tie our hands behind our backs. What the fuck? I love Two Tall Boys. Two Tall Boys is a paradigm shift. Like, yeah. Two beers is like that. You can have that with dinner. You can have that and drive. Two Tall Boys is like honestly, it's like the day laborers, like lunch. You know what I mean?
It is.
Like,
I think that's why they're duct taping two together.
They're taped together for like construction workers, for blue collar dudes who just pop and women who pop and yeah. Women. They're women work blue collar. Pop in are like two tall boys, please.
Yeah, I love a beer that's so tall that it slowly gets warm as you drink it. It's really my favorite quality.
When you get to the last quarter and you're like, oh, and you're like holding it in your hand the whole time. Yeah, tall boys are not for like sipping. You gotta just fucking put them down. Hey, get to work. I haven't had breakfast yet and you're drinking a Miller Lite tall boy in front of me. So as always, guys, we're gonna read some negative reviews in my podcast. Listeners, shitheads, if you rate me 5 stars and roast me in the comments, you can hear your iTunes handle read out loud. So this is from Shinny Shinny. Makes me angry. 5 stars. Shut up. Your guests are funny and interesting. Please let them finish their sentences. The worst part is how you contradict yourself and backtrack on your opinions to be in agreement with your guests so you can yell over and one-up them. Love the podcast. 5 stars. I will say I agree. I do not let people talk, but that's my lifelong story. But I don't know if I contradict and backtrack. I don't care about agreeing with my guests.
I don't know that I've heard that either.
I will often be like, defer to someone who might know a little bit more and then latch on. And my go-to interview technique is like, oh, cool. So is that like this? And then have my guest go, no. And I'm like, okay, well, yeah, that's what I knew that. And then we move on. Well, thank you, Shinny Shinny. Now, my guests are funny and interesting. Oh, I wonder if this is a new style of roast where they just talk about how good my guests are. That would be good. Here we go. From Morrissey's Conscience. All right. Jim Gorbutz does it again. Human stubbed toe and chronic binge eater Jam Gungus laugh wheezes through several time dilating episodes where he subjects us and his guests to all the reasons he's entirely unfamous. If you are ever feeling like an absolute failure in your life, remember this used loofah exists, and I guarantee you a serene sense of superiority will overtake you. 5 stars. Wow, that's strong.
That
I like
this one. Two incorrect names in one review.
Yeah, that's a strong move.
That's commitment.
And I like the further you get away from my name, and it's still like Jam Gungus. My name, John Gabris, almost sounds like a tertiary Star Wars character. Jam Gungus is a full-blown, like, droid salesman.
Yeah, that would be you. That's your story.
Jam Gungus. All right, last one, then we'll get into it. Moist and Raspy is the title of this review by Zen Munkin. Jim Gibbous is an amazing podcast host if you want someone who is both salivating like a St. Bernard and desperately trying to catch his breath like a beached whale. The only thing better than him interrupting his guests is when he interrupts them by laughing at his own jokes. My girlfriend listened to the Fat Guys episode, and now she blames me for her hip pain. Keep up the good work, you goddamn animal. That's really funny. Like, if you're going to listen... Anytime someone's like, yeah, I tried to get my girlfriend to listen to an episode of your podcast, I'm like, guys, please.
Why?
I have female listeners, but they have to come on their own. Yeah. You cannot be
under
like,
what circumstances would you think that that was a good idea?
I wouldn't even want to play. Anytime I put on a comedy podcast that I've gotten into, like for my wife, I'm always like humiliated.
Yeah.
I'm always like, even like people we're friends with who host podcasts, I'm like, oh, babe, you should listen to an episode of Hollywood Handbook. And we like throw it on. She'll be like, what is Sean talking about? And I'm like, all right, yeah. It's so hard to get someone in on it. They have to like...
I feel like I have to like pause it after 5 seconds. Okay, so all right, I need to start at the beginning and explain. So it's these two guys. They really like eating fast food.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was like, babe, you know Mitch? And she's like, yeah. What is the show again? I'm like, where they eat fish? She's like, that sounds gross. I'm like, no, it's really funny.
No, you know, sometimes they chew food really close to the microphone.
And I'm like... If someone was trying to sell me on a podcast, I wouldn't listen. You know what I mean? I'm like, no, they don't sound good on paper often. Like, two
or
women discuss murder. You're like, oh, okay, that I'm into. Yeah. Two guys eat Taco Bell and have a heart attack. You're like, less thrilled. Well, we were going to talk today. We were throwing around some topics. I like someone who has listened to the podcast before that, and we met at a party, and we follow each other on Twitter, and you're fucking hysterical. We met at a party, and you were like, "Hey, man, I'm at Chase Mitt. Hey, I'm at John Gabris." Yeah, no, we did not do that. We had like a fucking Black Mirror type party. Like, you're just like over your head. It's like, you know, 95,000 Twitter followers. Like, let's network.
No, yeah, but I did say I was a big fan of High and Mighty, and then I think. We like DM'd like a couple days later or something like that, and you were like, "Hey man, that was cool. I don't think a lot of people would have done that," which sounded like it was supposed to be a compliment, but really just
because I'm with you on that. If when I meet someone that I've listened to or like watching stuff, like I'm like, "Well, I want you to know that I was a fan of this thing you did in this movie or whatever," or if it's a friend, but I like I'm not like texting Shear and Mandzukas weekly going like the league was great again. But like if I happen to catch one that's like really funny, or I'm like, I should let them know I've been listening to every single episode of How Did This Game How Did This Game Made. So when you did that to me, I was like, that's very nice. Cause there's this element of social media where you meet people and like you're like, we follow each other on Twitter. And are we gonna mention that? Because we've definitely, you know what I mean? Like, when I met Jonah Ryan, when I met Tim Simons, we were working on a movie together. He's like, do we know each other outside of Twitter? And I was like, no, we don't. And he's like, oh, okay, well, nice to meet you. And it was like, that's like a reasonable human interaction. So for say like, hey, I'm this guy we follow. Because first of all, looking at your little circle photo, you can like, you're not going to be able to recognize that person.
No, of course not.
Yeah. Although if I ran into Krang T. Nelson... So when you introduce yourself, I was like, this is so great. This is like name to the face. You should come on the podcast. I think you're funny. You listen to my podcast. So I love having a guest like that because then they're like, here are 10 things I like that I assume I can get you to talk about as well. And it's like, this is the dream.
I do like, and it's, and you know, this is one thing that we can talk about is I just rip through podcasts all the time now because I have, I got a dog when I moved out here. And, you know, since I had this gap in employment, which I'm here to talk about today, I walk him like 3 times a day. And so when I'm on these walks, I just, and I know that I should be listening to like, I have This American Life and Radiolab and like More Perfect, which is about like the Supreme Court and stuff like that. And like, I know that I should be listening to those, but I just end up listening to podcasts of like my friends and peers. So I'm just listening to two people I know have a conversation that I can't be involved in.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just eavesdropping on two friends, basically.
Oh, it's and the hardest. So, I'm like texting Mitch and Nick every week.
I do. Like, I have a text thread with Weiger that's like, it is 90% just me commenting on an episode that I just heard.
I know.
And there's no way that Weiger doesn't think that I'm like the biggest loser because why am I like, hey, really love that Paul F. Tompkins episode. Like, cool. Thanks, man.
See you later. Yeah. But I think that's like a completely reasonable thing because if you're walking your dog while you're doing it, you're like, we don't need to multitask to like, you know, life improving things. Like you're out there walking, you're taking care of the dog. Like, because I listen to podcasts when I have to do bullshit around the house, which I often have to do because I'm a married man and my wife expects a certain level of maintenance around the house. Yeah. Turns out she's right. Like, it's way better to live like this. I know. So I'll be like, I got to do the dishes or I got to walk the dog or I got to move it and I'll just put on a podcast. And then I find myself being like, well, if I got a long drive, I'll throw on a podcast. And next thing I know, I'm listening to like 12 hours a week of podcasts.
Yeah. I gotta stop at some point.
No, it's like, I the other day I was like, got in my car and I was like, put on Hip Hop Nation on Sirius and I was listening to it. I was like, oh, music. Oh, right. I forgot about music. I only listen to music when I'm like writing or reading because I can't listen to podcasts at that time. A friend of mine listens to podcasts while he plays video games.
That, I don't think that I could do that.
No, it's too much because I can't like,
I would definitely be bad at one of them if I like I either would not be listening at all to what was happening, which I guess, you know, maybe doesn't matter, but I would.
That's what's fun about these podcasts that aren't like Radiolab or More Perfect is like if you tune out like How Did This Get Made for 8 minutes because you're like distracted by something, you can slide back in and be like, I'm not positive I missed much about Mila Jovanovich's outfit or whatever.
That's so funny. I just listened to that.
I should probably do at some point down the line. I should do an episode of High and Mighty about other podcasts.
Yeah,
and we like just roast Pierce. I'm like, I don't listen to that bullshit. It's like friends who.
Yeah, and about those fucks at Baby Geniuses.
So you're recently unemployed.
Recently is generous. I left the Tonight Show. With Jimmy Fallon in February, and there were like several reasons behind it. One was that, like, honestly, after Trump won, I just had a feeling of like I came into work the next day off like 2 hours of sleep, and I was still drunk from the night before. I mean, I think like, and I would feel bad about that, but I think that like all of us were, because like I stayed at the bar till like the bitter end and watched like all the returns come in and everything, and then watched the people talk about how depressed they were, and It came to work the next day. I literally pitched a bit the next day called What the Hell, which was, we just sent another writer down on the street, like a man on the street bit, to just ask people like, what the hell? And it actually turned out really funny, but I thought I can't spend the next 4 years just only talking about this guy. Like, right. I just can't do it. And
because, like, with a nightly show, with a late night show, you're like mining the headlines every day for monologue jokes or bits or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like surrounding yourself, like, on a smaller scale. Like, this is another classic interview technique. Someone tells me something cool and important, and I relate back as well as I can, and it's always way lower stakes, but I believe it to be equal. Like, when I left Best Week Ever as a PA way back in the day, it was because, like, I couldn't watch any more bad TV. Like, just having to be kept up on Real Housewives was, like, destroying me.
Oh, I think, by the way.
So I think, like, you know, a fascist monster taking over.
Yeah.
It's, like, even obviously way worse, but...
Yeah. And since then, I mean, it's been, you know, like 8-9 months on since then. And I think that what I really needed was like a good long, like, vacation. But, at the time I was like, I just can't do it.
Right.
I was there for about 3.5 years. I started at the very end of Late Night with Jimmy Fallon.
Oh.
So I was there for like the last 4 or 5 months of that.
And then when he got the Tonight Show, you just went with him.
And then, moved up to the Tonight Show and moved up. We stayed in the exact same offices. Nothing changed whatsoever.
Moved up 1 hour. It didn't affect my life. You have to wake up an hour earlier.
So there was that. And then I also, around the same time, in like mid January, went through a breakup that was extremely tough, of a relationship that actually also had lasted almost the exact same amount of time that I'd been at Fallon. So it was like, it was really like closing a chapter on my life, like, completely.
And then moved to California too.
Yeah. Well, not immediately. I had been waiting around for a job to come along to leave Fallon for. Oh, isn't it? I should start off. So we're talking about unemployment. If you're in a job right now, you should just keep that job until you die in it. don't leave a job. Don't do what I say, not what I did.
Yeah, have another one lined up.
Yeah,
is all I'm gonna say.
I don't know. All I knew was I was going through like a rough patch, and I was like coming into this job every day, which, like, and I loved most of my time at Fallon, but it is a grind. I mean, it's 12-hour days. I would wake up in the morning at like 7 a.m. The first thing that I'm thinking of is what my pitches are going to be for our morning meeting that morning. And then they would keep us, you know, our taping was at 5 p.m. and then we'd stay kind of, like, just thinking of preliminary ideas for the next day after that taping, which is done at like 6. So we wouldn't leave until, 8, sometimes 9 p.m., depending on what we were working on.
Yeah.
And so it was just tough. So having that job in the middle of feeling incredibly shitty was like, it was really tough.
That's the thing about any career where it's like freelance, where it's like,
yeah,
you don't get days off and you don't want to leave, but you're like, I need some time off. Like, I wish I could take this week off, but it's like, if I miss out on a payday, I'm fine.
Right. And the thing about Fallon too is, and really any late night show, is you're on that show's schedule. You don't get, they might have softened a little bit about this now, and we'll let people leave for something if they want to for a little while, but
yeah, as the show becomes more of a machine and has more staff,
right?
Members,
but for the most part, you're on that show's schedule, so
you can only go on vacation on their hiatus.
On their
you can
hiatus,
only sleep,
which
in
is great.
On
which is
hiatus.
Like, it's a great problem to have. I mean, like, schedules are like,
we should say umbrella wise, it's that's a great
it's a
job.
Fucking,
to have.
It's
yeah,
it's a
lot
cushy
of people
job.
Want it.
I mean, it's very tough, but it's also, you get these breaks. Basically, it works out probably averages like every 8 or 9 weeks or something. You get a week off.
Yeah,
and that's when, you know, that's when people will, like, take big trips, and they'll, you know, go home to see their family or whatever.
Because you're so busy but making decent money, and then all of a sudden you're like, I have a week free. It's like,
right,
I gotta maximize this week. You don't want to, like, sleep in your apartment for like four of those nights.
But we were just coming off of the holiday break, and so I was looking down the barrel of, like, another probably, I don't remember exactly what it was, but I think it would have been another like 8 or 9 weeks before our next thing. And so I was like really, I was coming in and I felt like I wasn't funny. I feel like I wasn't capable of coming up with the ideas. I wasn't getting any sleep. I have like anxiety issues. I have panic attacks and stuff. So that was all flaring up like at this same time. And so
I can only imagine like anxiety, people with anxiety who have a certain belief system is like the environment. Like I didn't think I had anxiety until like January when I was I was like, maybe I have anxiety. Why am I like generally stressed about the well-being? I was never generally stressed about the well-being of America before my entire life. And now I'm just like, there's just a constant thought in the back of my head, like, we're going to be okay, right? Like,
well, I mean, every day is just a, as soon as you wake up, is just a torrent of just horrible news. And the shit, like, you know, in the beginning, there was a lot of, we were all talking, you know, this is not normal. We can't let this become normal. And like, honestly, like 9 months later, like, I'm still not letting it be normal, but I am fucking used to it a little bit. Like it is like...
You can flip out all day long about something, and then the next day it's just a new
thing. I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted from being outraged all the time. So I was getting progressively worse at my job through like through the month of January, I think. And I just remember there was one day where I walked in. Everything is very regimented there. Everything is very very tightly scheduled.
Like, and meetings are at this time every day.
Yeah, rehearsal starts it's almost at this like time. Bits are due at this time. It's almost like there's almost like a soup Nazi-ish quality to it. I mean, there's a creative meeting at that's typically starts around like 12:30 in the afternoon. That's when Jimmy sees that's when he sees basically what we spent all morning working on. The head writer would approve a number of bits from different writers. The writers who would pitch those bits would work on getting those into shape so that Jimmy could see them at 12:30, and then he would choose which of those he'd want to move forward with. And so in the creative meeting, that's the kind of soup Nazis part, is like you would walk in silently, sit down in a seat with like a pad and paper, and they would, Jimmy would basically read your jokes for whatever bit it was. And he would, you know, check off the ones that he wants to do, or, you know, decide they didn't want to do it at all. And so there was one day where I came in for one and I was just in such a fog from like lack of sleep and just general, probably like depression.
Yeah.
that like, it's very much like when you come out, the next writer's waiting and they need to know when it's okay for them to go in next. And so I walked out and I was
Writer at a time?
One writer at a time, yeah. Not just with him. There's like Jimmy and the producers and stuff like that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so I walked out, another one of the writers, Albertina, she said, am I supposed to go in? And I honestly had forgotten what just happened like 5 seconds ago. And I was like, yeah. And she walked in and it turned out she was not supposed to go and it was supposed to be a different writer. And so I accidentally like embarrassed her because I was so off my game. And that's when I was like, I need a change. I need to do something different right now. Like, shit, I can't keep doing this. I've just, something is off with me. And so I called my agent and I was like, hey, I know we've been, you know, waiting on, you know, the right thing to come along, but I'm a little tired of waiting and I'm a little bit like at my wit's end here. And I think that I should go and work on this pilot idea that I had. So what would you think if I just did that without having something lined up? And he was like, I love it. He was like, cause it's not his life, you know, he's, but
it is, there is an element where he's like, you know, I was steady making 10% a week for the last 2.5 years, but that's cool that he was, able to go like, yeah, why don't you stay alive?
So I did. I mean, so I put in my 2 weeks. Jimmy was very cool about it. We're on good terms. You know, I happened to leave at a time when a couple of other people were leaving. I don't know if that helped or hurt. I mean, I think that it kind of comes in waves like that. So I left. And then those first few weeks of not having to, it was like, you know, when you get out of college and you don't have to worry about homework or studying for a test ever again or something. Yeah. It was like, oh my God, it's such a relief to not have to, like, I can look at the news in the morning and I don't have to do anything with it. Right. Like, I don't have to look, I don't have to look at, you know, 8 headlines about how he's wants to dismantle healthcare and yeah. and you know, like,
oh, we're backing out of that global agreement today.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah. And I can just look at it and be like, well, that sucks. And then I don't have to try to make that funny somehow. Yeah. And so for a couple of weeks, it was a great feeling. And then
that feeling starts to reverse.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to keep that post-college analogy, it's like 3 weeks of living on your mom's couch. You're like, this is pretty
yeah,
sick.
Yeah, this is starting to get pretty.
I kind of don't have money or things to do even. Hello Fresh, guys. Oof. I've been making some fancy meals this week. It's so convenient, all right? Look, you choose what day you want it to get delivered, because, like, for us, you know, we don't want it anywhere near the weekend because that's when we're going out or we have, like, more time to really dig in on a recipe. We wanted to get there on Sunday night, so Monday and Tuesday, we are ready to go. I got family-sized. Don't tell anyone, because I just wanted to get double the amount of food. So instead of feeding a family of 4, I was able to feed me, my wife, the inordinate amount of food I want to eat. And then I got, like, leftovers for lunch the next day. It's, like, so awesome. And they offer, it's like, you can get all different kinds of recipes. Obviously, there's classic. I talked about family. You can get, in the classic, dude, I got one meat dish, one fish dish. And what was the other? Oh, it was chicken. Oh, it was bomb, dude. And the family-sized meals take just as long to cook. You know, it's still fast, but you just get more food out of it. All the ingredients come pre-measured. Like, I'm telling you how this works, right? You get it. You you understand how all of this works. You get the ingredients. You make something, and it's so delicious. Like, there's a Hall of Fame customer-voted favorite, the Juicy Lucy Burger. I haven't gotten that recipe yet, but that excites me. I don't know if I talked about this one yet, but I made a, like, ground turkey stuffed green pepper. It was super healthy. It was paleo. It was delicious. And my wife only had a couple because she had a work thing. I was able to smash down like 8 of these things in 2 days. It was a dream. No carbs. Feeling ripped. And for me, it's just fun to be able to cook, because, like, that's something, like, that I don't have. Like, it requires too many steps and, like, foresight, 2 things I'm not strong at. Like, oh, I need to have these ingredients. I need to have the free time. With HelloFresh, it just knocks that all out for me. And it's not even that expensive. So it's great. Do yourself a favor. Go to HelloFresh.com for your $30 off your first week of HelloFresh. You go to HelloFresh.com and enter promo code Mighty30 for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh. I know it's Mighty30. Come on. I knew this. I got in trouble for this previously. Guys, HelloFresh.com. Promo code Mighty30 for $30 off your first order. I highly recommend it. All right, guys, it's time to turn on the joy. It's easy to listen to SiriusXM wherever you go this holiday season and in 2018. No car required. You can get it on your computer, your phone, whatever, Android, iOS. You can stream it on a bunch of devices. Right now, my wife is unfortunately blasting Christmas carols from Alexa in the kitchen. So that's why I'm buried in the High and Mighty Studios recording these ads for you. You can use Google Home, Sonos, Roku, PlayStation. And SiriusXM has great stuff. Commercial-free music, exclusive sports, talk, comedy, entertainment programming. I'm listening to, here's my top 5 if you look at my 5 across, because my car has, like, you're only allowed to, like, 5 on the main page. I got Hip Hop Nation, SiriusXM Fly, First Wave, Backspin, and SiriusXMU. That's right. Your boy's an eclectic hipster. And if you don't have a subscription to stream SiriusXM, we can get you one, bro. Sign up now for 6 months for $30. That's right. $5 a month. 6 months for $30. Check out hundreds of channels synced up to all your devices. Sign up today and see details at SiriusXM.com/HeadGum. That's SiriusXM.com/HeadGum for $5 a month for 6 months. Give it a serious. It's easier than trying to make your own playlists.
I had an idea for like a half hour scripted pilot, and the idea was for that to be like a writing sample to get a new job. Yeah. And since most, I would say like 90% of scripted shows are out here, I told my agent, like, the idea was I will stay in New York. I'll work a couple months on this pilot idea. And then when it's done, I'll move to LA. And, you know, I think the idea was that I would do it in time for staffing season and get on something out here right away. They made it sound like they're like, you're very hireable. Yeah. Like you have this great body of work. They made it sound like I would be offered. They made it sound like I would be offered something when getting off the plane. But yeah, so I worked on this pilot idea, developing it, and I got them a first draft, and it was fun to work. It was fun to work on something that was just me, where I wasn't. Because, you know, everything you do for a show, you're submitting it to someone else and they're changing it and they're putting
And you want to be like, but
on.
That actually is really funny. That
idea emerged from my brain perfectly formed as it is.
Yeah, no, I really like, and often notes are great, producers are great, it works out. But every once in a while you're like, no, you don't see why that's funny. Oh, right. I'm not the one standing up in front of America to say it. So fine. But if I'm writing my own pilot, this joke, which I guarantee people will love, is going to stay in there.
Yeah. And so it was really fun to, and I never written a script that was longer than like 6 or 7 pages before. Right. I was a sketch writer at Fallon. And so I'd never done anything that was longer than a sketch. And so to really like kind of live in scenes and stuff like that and develop them out.
And hearing shit about act breaks and
whatnot. Oh God. And I had no idea what I was doing, but you know, from being a fan of TV, it does kind of give you like a general idea of where things should. And I looked at a few other friends' pilots. I was like, okay, well, it feels like the act one break should come somewhere between like page, 10 and 11 or whatever. Yeah, so I wrote that out and I got out here, and it turned out that I kind of got out here. I don't know if this is a miscommunication with my agents or what, but I kind of missed most of staffing season. Like I got out here in April, and
it happens in like February and March.
Yeah, I mean,
between pilot season and shooting technically, but there's like a weird. Yeah.
Yeah. But they tried to put like a, positive spin on. They're like, oh, well, we're more excited about cable shows anyway. And
there's always cable.
Yeah. Those will be coming up, and there's not really a season for that. It's kind of all year long. And so then, I don't know. I was out here in the spring, and it was like, all right, well, what do I do? I have all this time now. What do I fucking do with myself? And so
podcasts.
Yeah. I've been on a few of those. I got a dog.
That's a great time suck. Great thing to do when you're unemployed.
Adorable little time suck.
Lay the groundwork of like, this is what life is going to be like. Yeah. And then, because you don't want to get a dog a puppy that needs to be walked 8 times a day when you have a 12-hour day.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. He's going to be, it's going to be so jarring for him when, I just came off of a thing where I was working for like 3 weeks on this pilot, and he was so, I think, shocked that I was like, because I usually am hanging around him all day, and I was suddenly just not there anymore.
Yeah, I think Arthur gets like he turns his nose up at me when I've gotten like 4 days of work in a row, and he's like, wait, what? You're leaving me again, dude? Yeah. I was like, yeah, sorry, I want nothing more than to smoke weed.
See, you don't understand because you're pretty new to the situation, but this is actually how it's supposed to go.
Yeah. In an ideal world, you're never going to see me because I'm working full-time on a TV show. Yeah. Unfortunately, until then, your dad's going to be here screaming into microphones for hundreds of dollars a month. So that was a long stretch of unemployment when you came out. Because I will say I've been unemployed in New York. Mm-hmm. As I've been broke unemployed. Like, I'm fucked. I'm collecting unemployment. Unemployment is like as much. When I first was working, I wanted to switch from working as a PA to like getting into writing and acting. And I met with like the woman who was the head writer of the time, or the writing producer of Best Week Ever. And I had like such a, and I was like, obviously funny. Like I wasn't yet a writer or like one of the on town, but I was like, I was obviously funny. And I was like, oh, I'd love to. Can you tell me, give me some. So she was like, why do you want to be a writer on this show? And I was like, well, I want to do things like, I want to create comedy. And also it seems fun to be a writer as opposed to being a PA. And she's like, that's the wrong attitude.
Oh.
And I was like, okay. So then I talked to my friend.
You
had
a fucking test like that. Like, yeah. Oh, you failed the test. Yeah, what are you supposed to say?
Yeah, well, what's the right answer? Yeah. I need to change the world via best week ever. I'm writing jokes for fucking Doug Benson to say in reaction to clips of fucking bullshit.
Look, I don't feel like people are really getting that it's the best week ever.
That's me. I just want everyone to know how great each week was. But I was like, oh, that sucks. And I talked to my friend Kevin. I'll shout out Kevin Marr. He hosts of Kevin Geeks out in the tri-state area all around New York. He was a writer on the show, and I was like, he's like, I've been where you've been, man. They'll never think you're a writer until you, or like an actor until you leave. You're just a PA to all of these people. Yeah. And I was like, well, I can't leave a job. He's like, do you know that New York State unemployment is $400 a week? I was like, it is? And he's like, what is your take home on your best week ever paycheck? I was like, $344. He's like, you could get a raise and not work
so
at all.
Funny.
I was like, huh? He's like, you have a freelance job. If you leave, you're technically, you can be unemployed. You paid for this. I was like, wait, how's that work? He's like, he broke down all this advice for me. He's like, do it. You have 6 months. If you get some paychecks, you can bump it out further if you get some freelance work. And I was like, oh my God. And he's like, but the only thing you have to do is harness that time. If you cannot look back on your 3 months of unemployment and not have done anything. Like, that's the goal, he said, is like, even if it is watch all of The Wire.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Have something that you've been wanting to complete and now you can. So he's like, write, like, I quit my job. I like started collecting unemployment. I started going like ham at UCB. Like, oh, I'm doing 3 indie shows this week. Or then me and my old writing partner, Justin Tyler, we wrote sketch shows together. I watched all of The Shield and all of Twin Peaks. And I was like, oh my God, this. And then like time ran out like that. Eventually I was like, I want to make more money than that. And I started coaching and all. And it was such an amazing experience. I was like, oh, I needed 6 months off living in the city, eating rice and beans from Bonita for $2. That was like a clutch place right around the corner from my house.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be like, oh, $2 rice and beans, please.
Man, this is just making me miss New York.
I know. And New York is a great place to be unemployed in because there is no schedule of the day.
Right.
And LA has that to a degree too. But I just want to, the main point I'm trying to make, which I'll eventually make, was then when me and my wife moved out here, I had all these contacts and like part-time little gigs and like coaching and teaching in New York. But when we moved out here, I had nothing. And my wife was working full-time, thank God. But for like the first 9 months out here, I like wasn't getting anything going. I wasn't going on auditions. Yeah. I moved out here for that, and it almost felt like no one knew. And it was... that unemployment time where we could still afford it because I had some money saved up. I had some good jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
We could still afford for me not to work, but I couldn't emotionally handle not working.
It's crazy. I don't know what it is. I do think that LA is a tougher place to be unemployed. I don't know what it is about.
Because it's a lonelier place, I think.
Yeah, everything's
so much more spread
out. And you don't realize
the social things you get out of having a job. Like,
yeah.
I would be like going to an audition at 4 p.m. and being like, I haven't spoken out loud yet today. Like, I said goodbye to my wife and then talked to my dog.
God, I wonder what the latest, like, there has to be a day where I didn't say something, like, where like I went and saw a matinee movie at Los Feliz 3 or something and didn't say anything until I, like, you know, went to Public House and ordered a drink, like, after that. Like, I probably didn't speak until 7:30 p.m. or something.
Right? And you're like, oh, this feels
Jesus
weird.
Jesus Christ, yeah.
And so, like, and that was a hard few... thank God, like, I tell all my friends that are moving out to L.A., I'm like, look, it's going to be hard because it's like, yes, I was fortunate enough to land at UCB with some shows and a teaching gig, but even that is not, like, suffice enough to keep you alive, like,
it's
mentally.
I'm lucky in that... like I said, was at Fallon for over 3 years and was able to save up quite a bit. I think that, you know, when you're making that money and you're at one of those shows, I feel like the crew hates you. They just have like silent resentment against you because your union, the guild mandates that we make a certain amount of money.
Right.
But I truly think that that the reason why we get that amount of money isn't so that we are like living large. It's so that we can like squirrel it away and, for these, and, for these,
because there's
like,
going to be times when you're not working. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So like,
that's like why residuals exist.
Exactly. You're like, yeah.
It would be brutal to be not working, watching material you made on TV and not getting paid for it. Like that's why there's all these structures.
And so I'm very thankful and glad to have those savings because God, one of the, true, like swallow your pride moments, happened for me in like September. I was like, I'm going through these savings. I feel like I maybe need to apply for unemployment out here. And I did all the paperwork and everything. And I had a phone call with them and they want to like contact your previous employer. And it's like, I was like, oh, man, it's going to be so embarrassing because I left there like so confidently, like I'm going to LA, guys. Yeah. Catch you later.
Right, and then they got to call someone who you maybe never even interacted with over at the
company.
Yeah,
well, no, I said like, okay, if you call them, call my friend Arthur Meyer.
Big fan of Arthur.
Yeah,
Meyer,
Arthur's great. Because I was like, it'll be less embarrassing if it's Arthur because we're friends and like. And I can give him a heads up beforehand, like, hey man, this depressing thing's about to happen.
And he would be understandable.
Someone's basically about to call you and tell you that I'm a failure. So I guess that happened, but the claim got denied because they said that I left without cause. And I wanted to be like, if you guys could have seen, what my disheveled look when I was coming into work in January,
California state unemployment can understand mental health, they would know that I needed that time off.
So I mean, that's a bummer, but I also don't want to. I mean, I'm still fine, and
unfortunately for our careers, this is what I'm on, like. This is my first year making less money, I think, than the previous year.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've been doing well for some, and I'm like, wait a minute. Am I coming back to, am I like, it's not like I'm making an insane amount of money that like, I'm like, wait, what if I keep going down? What if it slows down? At what point, like, I keep making the joke that I used to be like a writer and actor and comedian, and now, at least according to the government, I'm a podcast host. Like, and I'm like, which I love. I love doing this job. I never looked at it as a job, but unfortunately, until it's like the main form of your salary, all of a sudden you're like,
wow, new thing for those 5-star reviews, guys. He also resents having to do this.
Yeah, and it's like one of those things where all of a sudden I'm like. I was doing podcasts for fun for so long. Now I'm like, hey, Mac Weldon, let's talk, baby. Let's talk. Daddy needs another fucking taste. Let me get a couple of free socks.
The more that I listen to these things, the more I'm like, man, it would be nice to be getting like free Mac Weldon stuff, though.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I got for. I could show you here. This is all Mac Weldon underwear.
That's great. Guys, he's showing me his underwear.
Oh, just like a drawer full of dildos vibrating. Shut him off. Welcome back, Jonathan. So you've been unemployed out here for a bit. That's a relatable experience. We both moved here and then were uncomfortably free.
Yeah. It starts off being awesome. Like, I was going on hikes with my dog and you can go to the
beach on a Wednesday.
Oh yeah, it's great. I learned to cook, which I love it. Like, I never made myself any meal in New York, period. I never even like heated something up. I ate from a restaurant. I was living in East Village, and like there happened to be like just tons of restaurants around there that I loved, and I would just like, I would eat food from a restaurant for every meal of the day. Or, you know, like working in 30 Rock, like there's, you know,
grab like a Danish and a coffee.
Yeah, or Hale and Hardy was downstairs or whatever. Like all those like supremely mediocre places.
I know. I when I worked at VH1, Kosi was in the, I ate fucking the free bread in line every day.
That was at Hudson Street, right?
1633 before it moved down to 345.
Gotcha,
Hudson.
Yeah. Yeah, I worked at 345 Hudson for a little while. So I never fucking made a meal for myself ever. And here I've started to just really, and I'm a dork about it too. I love doing it. And then I will fucking, half my Instagram now is pictures of meals that I've made.
That's great.
Cause I'm so proud of it when I make it that I like, well, I take a picture of it. Like it's, but I know now how to like, I can fucking sear an ahi tuna steak, or I can make mashed potatoes. Like, I know,
you said you went through a breakup earlier. You're creating yourself into a more powerful partner. You've learned.
Oh,
to
I
cook.
Definitely. Yeah. Look, I'm like, I know
he's evolving.
Yeah.
You're like, I've started exercising. I eat healthy.
Doing all the divorced dad stuff. Yeah, but like
turning your life around. Yeah. I went backpacking by myself. You know, you're like, you're having eat pray
yeah, really
love in
you know
LA.
I got in touch with me, you know.
I bought a pull-up bar for my living room.
Oh god, that's next.
But that's
I'm making a note to myself to check Amazon for pull-up bars, you know.
that's the move, though. That's what you got to do with unemployment, because like I talk to my wife about this a lot. When it's been a while, I can tell when I'm in like a funk about not working.
Yeah,
because I'm unable to do even the things that I'm afforded to do by having free time. Where like my free time, if you're working, if you work 2 days a week, or you know, you're getting work, you work 4 weeks in a row, that 1 week off doesn't seem brutal.
Yeah.
But when you're like on week five of like, I had one day of work in the last 5 weeks, I feel myself losing the ability to even enjoy the days that are free.
Yeah, there's definite refreshing. Turn. It's like overindulging on anything, I think, probably. Like, it's like when you eat too much or something like that. You're like, this started out really good, and now I don't know who I am anymore.
Yeah, and it's like, and then someone's like, you know, we have to eat again tomorrow, and you're like, I can't do it tomorrow. I'm definitely not, like, it's the post jerk off feeling where you're like, this is the greatest feeling in the world, and the second you're done, you're like, oh my god, burn this whole house down. I can't believe, what time is it? 4 p.m. Oh my god, what am I doing with my life? Yeah, but like, it's so. I'm my own worst enemy. I'm like refreshing. I'm like, just write. Just get to work on this thing you want to write. It's like, but I'm broke. But like, who knows? I'm not going to work again. And especially this time of the year is the time, like, we're recording this and like right after Thanksgiving. This will come out in early December. But the business, like, there's nothing until like January 10th now. And I'm like, oh, I'm broke at the end of the year.
Yeah,
and
you might as well just like strap in for the holidays because it's nothing's happening.
I'm like, oh, fuck. We're going to eat our savings. And it's so weird how that can get in your way. And then some days you're like, get a bunch of shit done the day before. Like, you're like, I got 6 pages done of the movie I'm writing. And then it's like the next day you're like, friends are like, hey, we're going to grab lunch. And you're like, sick. I can like welcome myself outdoor. Like, there's it's not for everyone. The freelance life, the life that comes with guaranteed unemployment, is not for everyone. You have to want to hustle and be comfortable with constant rejection. Oh man, tears pouring down my face.
I would say the latter part of my summer was spent throwing myself back into the like packet writing ring, which was a whole other thing, because when you have worked a job like Fallon for a long amount of time, like, and you left over your own accord, and I have, you know, I have two reels of material that I made that are both like 9 minutes long. It's like, I you know, you kind of, you want to say to yourself, like, haven't I earned, like, aren't I above the like rat race of having to submit those packets, and like having to like start doing it again was, it's a brutal, brutal fucking existence. Anybody who's listening to this who is trying to get hired on our show and is writing packets knows exactly what I'm talking about. It's
I have so many Word files and PDFs on my computer that I had to create for one person to say no to.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's humiliating. It's like nothing is repeatable. Nothing is
No, not at all.
Like, maybe you have some where you just like find and replace the words Conan with like James or whatever.
You know, sometimes you don't even have to do that. If it's two Jimmy jobs, you could just keep it exactly the same. But
that's really funny. Like, I'm trying to get hired on Kimmel. It's like, it would just be like, that was me when I first, like, when I was going through it. I'm not even like a joke writer, or I don't even think I could handle like the workload of a late night writing. Like, I think I could tell stories better than I could do late night writing. But when I saw how close Corden is to my house, I was like, should I ask my agent if I should submit for Corden? I'm like, don't pick a job you think you might not like or enjoy just for the commute.
That's so funny.
But it sounded good in a moment. And I had some friends over there. I was like, oh, it could be fun. Like, walk to work, hang out with some friends, make some money. But then it's also one of those things where it's like, you forget. Like, you're like, yeah, I'm deserving. Like, you talking about packet writing reminds me of, like, I hosted like 5 shitty shows in a row, like pilots and or like one season shows. And I never wanted to be a host, but it was something I ended up like, and it's like adjacent to comedy. You get to be funny and it's really fun. But then I was like, I can't do this anymore. I got to try to do. And then like 2 years go by and I'm like, I would fucking kill for another Santa Claus reality show on True TV. Like, and it's humiliating because it's like the same thing where it's like, I guess I'm going to go crawling back. Like,
yeah.
Following up with my manager being like, hey, actually contact those guys who want me to like eat ants on camera.
Yeah, yeah.
The non-union $800 to like let a guy fucking hit a golf ball out of your mouth. I was like, yeah, at this point I'll take it.
Yeah, and the closer you get on those things, the more frustrated it is, because some of those packets for some of like the newsy type shows like The Daily Show and Sam B and stuff like that. You're right. You're talking about like a 8 or 9 page packet, and then if you make it to the second round, you got to do that same thing again, but in 24 hours. It's no fucking joke.
It's crazy, and I understand that they need some sort of like gatekeeping to be like, they actually, this person can handle working on our show, but some of them feels like this is a little much. Like, this is like,
it is, can't, yeah.
I mean, I've never submitted to be a writer on The Daily Show, but I've submitted to be a correspondent, and you have to do one that they send you, and then you have to like create your own.
Yeah.
And like, that's a lot of like, I mean, that's like the SNL audition, I guess, is like, you have to do all the characters and write, like, that's like a lot of material, like, to come up with specifically, like, doing characters that I've done before is one thing, but like, here's my take on Obama's coffee salute. You can tell when I auditioned. Well, you know, John Stewart. That's how you know when I auditioned. But yeah, it's one of those things where, and then that material is like, you do it, you get closer.
Yeah.
Oh,
the closer you get and then not getting it, the more it fucking just breaks your heart and knocks you back down again.
And I think I know why, is because you, I did this exact run on a, and I'm going to use the shows as an example because they kind of pissed me off a little bit. Me and my writing partner, were like, hey, our manager contacted us, like, the show Brickleberry wants to hire writers. They read your submission and they love it. And we're like, Brickleberry? What bullshit? And he's like, well, we're like, we don't want to write on Brickleberry. And it's like, we don't have writing jobs. So we're but like, it would be cool working. And then all of a sudden, like, they're like, we'll have a Skype meeting with the guys anyway. We have a Skype meeting with the guys that created it. They seem like nice guys. We're like, oh, yeah. And then, like, over the course of like the next week, over text message, we convince ourselves that we like really want the job. Like, you know, like you talk yourself into it, where all of a sudden you're like, they're pretty fun. I was like, that could be really cool. Also, like, maybe they'll let us do a voice on an episode. And that's like another little fun foray. And it's like, plus, who cares if the show's not good? We can like really just like learn how an animation room works. And then we've completely built it up. And then we don't get the job. And we're so pissed. And we're calling these guys by name over text. Like, you know, like, fuck these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
How dare they? And then we use Brickleberry as an inside joke for an entire year. We're just like, oh, Brickleberry. Oh, we got Brickleberry'd out there.
Yeah.
We're like, I can't believe we wanted that show. They get announced for season 3 and our manager contacts us. Brickleberry. Barry's interested again. We were like,
we had to start all over again.
We spent the full year shitting on them, and we were like, well, cool, send them our new sample.
Yeah, yeah.
I was so upset with myself.
Also, I have some podcasts that I need to delete.
Right, yeah. That will be what I have to do. Like, I'll eventually, you'll just
Is
know.
Brickleberry's still on?
Yeah,
you're going to come back around to you again?
and I would kill to write on Brickleberry. No exaggeration. I feel like if I ever got like a real deal job, like if eventually it was like this new Fox show starring John Gabris, I would have to delete my Twitter, my Instagram, every podcast I've ever been on. It's like, I'm going to get fired the second I get hired for something.
Yeah. I've already been wondering, like, have I said too much about this show? Or that show.
No, you didn't like, you had nothing to, oh yeah, you mean on, not on this podcast. Yeah, okay, you've been fine. Yeah. What are some other things you were doing with your, like, how are you coping with your unemployment? Like, do you still set yourself a schedule? Do you set your alarm? That's like a good unemployment question.
Yeah.
Or is your dog your new alarm?
I didn't realize
now.
Until like halfway through the summer. I was like, I told my therapist, I was like, I should start setting a schedule. She's like, yeah, were you not? Like, yeah, no, I was the whole time. Yeah, I just meant, should I continue?
Right, because when I first went on unemployment in New York, I was sleeping, the average times I was sleeping was 4 a.m. to like 1 p.m. And it's like, you can't live like that.
No, I started having just the weirdest, I would wake up at 4 a.m. and then I would be like, I should get back to sleep. And then I just ended up, the East Coast was already up, so I'd start looking at like fucking what was happening, like the news that was happening on the East Coast, and then I wouldn't end up getting back to sleep until like, you know, 9 or 10, and then wake up again at noon. It was like, God, I've spent so much time and money at the Vista and Los Feliz 3. They were my, you know, that was where I would spend way too much of my time.
Yeah, I would see like two matinees a week. Like I would just be like, I guess I'm gonna see this movie.
Dude, I saw Despicable Me 3 two times, I'm pretty sure. I'm not invested in the Despicable Me franchise. I have not seen the first or second Despicable Me's. There's no reason for me to have seen that movie even once.
But there is something comfort, like, so that makes me I can relate to more on this. Like that, I like just the experience of going to the theater. Like it doesn't even have to be. Yeah. Yeah, like, I mean, so that's what obviously it sounds like. You don't need to
overindulge,
find the nuance.
But like I do love going to those movies. And like if you're working and you're on a hiatus or something and you go to see a matinee at one of those theaters in like the middle of the day, that's a fantastic experience. But like when you're doing it, like
when you're
it's
like,
your
I've
third movie
Wednesday,
this week,
10 a.m. movie,
you start to know the name of the guy at the box office. Yeah. Like, hey, Ted, just one again.
Yeah, I work nights. You're like, you know, like I haven't coached improv or waited tables or temped in like 7 years, 8 years, so that is to me what is successful. Not having to have a day job, but like in the last like 3 months, I've been like fantasizing about a bartending shift, and it's like that's my whole life has changed. Where my wife is like, you don't want to do that. You don't want to be up late. The job's gonna suck once you start doing it. Like you're gonna hate it. And I'm like, but if I just had like one night a week where I brought home a couple $100 cash, like because I used to be a bartender in New York, and I was like, oh, I could live off that money and then like wouldn't be so stressed about the one audition I get every 10 days or whatever. Right. And it's like, I'm fantasizing about just like a good day job. Like that's where I've gotten to in life where it's like, shit, man, what if I had one of those? Like, remember when you would hear about like when you were back in the day, like someone when you're first starting out in the business, like you meet someone, they're like, oh yeah, you want to rehearse at like 3 o'clock or you want to shoot this sketch at 3 o'clock? And they're like, yeah, that's cool. I'm like, oh, what do you do? I'm like, I'm unemployed and I'm scraping by. It's like, oh, I'm like, I'm like this hedge fund manager's assistant. And I get 65 grand a year plus benefits, but they kind of like understand that I'm an actress and they like let me leave. I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, shit, I wish I had one of those for the last like 20 years.
Yeah.
Can I have 3 days off to go shoot fucking The Substitute on MTV? do you have any like, so now you set an alarm. Now you have a schedule.
What does
an unemployed day look like for you?
I mean, it's like, it's getting up. Thankfully, like having the dog is like that, I need to get up to walk him.
Well,
so
that'll make you
nice, like,
that'll make you not a shut in and also get you talking, if not in complete gibberish or songs to your dog that you, but at least you're
and
like
also,
interacting with a being.
Yeah. And now I know like every fucking person who owns a dog in like a 6-block radius.
Oh, same here. And I like stand outside with my dog and smoke joints in front of my house. Yeah. So everyone in the building, I'm like this character. Like they're like, hey, Jan. I'm like, whoa, hey.
I only know
dogs' names, not the owners,
yeah,
right?
Oh, of course. And I like maybe 3 of them out of 70 of them.
But... yeah. It's like, you know, you say something like, George's mom is blah, blah, blah. You know, like it's like, mom.
But yeah, it's a lot of checking in with my agents, a lot of like answering emails and stuff. I do some like freelancing stuff for Funny or Die, like pitching these sketch ideas a couple times a week.
So you have like a little baseline work that you could get done.
Yeah,
every day.
It's you know, it's something. And
do you dedicate like you're like you know, like noon to three today I'm writing. Do you do stuff like that?
Or I
like-
need to more. That's another like do as I say, not as I do kind of thing. I should be, because I have, so I have that pilot that's been kicking around as a sample, and then but I have like, I have another idea for another one, and I have an idea for a feature. If I, so there's things that I have in the tank that I need to be, I should be using right now to write. I mean, right. I have an animated show idea. That,
instead, so, you're smashing tall boys. And cutting it up on High and Mighty.
driving to West Hollywood at 11 a.m. and showing up early.
No, dude, that's great. That's I was into it. I happened to be here. I'm like, let's get fucking cracking, dude. I think that I need to have like a productivity expert on this podcast. Mm-hmm. Here's two things I need to do in the next like year of my life is I need to get a productivity expert to explain to me like here's
get that person on so that I'm doing can listen
wrong.
To that episode.
Yeah, just tell me what I'm doing wrong. And then separately, I think I need a therapist, which is probably going to be more helpful than a productivity expert.
Because
I like want to do all these things I talk about. Like I want to like, if I could set my alarm for 7 in the morning, get to the gym by 8, be home by 9:30, showered, coffeed up, 10 a.m., and then I sit at my computer and I write from 10 until lunch, then I have lunch, and then I'm free for the rest of the day. If I could just do that, and I can't even get to myself to get there.
The gym totally fell off for me. I was doing it the first few months when I came out here, and I'm just like... The only exercise I get is walking my dog right now.
It's one of those things too. Like the next time you have a job for like 9 months, you're like, "Why didn't I exercise?"
Yeah, I could have gotten completely ripped, like hilariously ripped, like more ripped than any comedy writer should be. Right. It would have been like a fun bit. I would have shown up to work.
Yeah, it's like one of those things where it's like you either got to do that or eventually in year two of your stressful writing job is like I get up at 5 and I go lift weights and I'm at the office by whatever. You're like, that's the terrifying thing too.
I worked punch up on something like about a month or so ago for like a TBS show, and it was really fun. It was like a super fun room. They packed it out with like a bunch of friends of mine who like Sean O'Connor was in there, Jess Dweck, I don't know if you know her.
Yes.
Travis Helwig and a bunch of other people. And like it was like a real like, and I didn't want to like tell anybody in there, but that was like the first day of work that I had in like months. And it was like, and I was like, so I was just like really fucking happy to be anywhere. And so but it made me like really productive in that, like I was throwing out more stuff because I had like months of stuff like stored up. And so there's all this energy and I'm like, and it was like a super fun day, but it was like, and then, so then that same kind of thing carried over. Like I said, I, got hired on this pilot, I just finished. And going in there, I was so eager and so hungry from, you know, not having done this stuff, and just really wanting to work and like create and make stuff and just make somebody laugh, that like it actually made me like it made me better in the room. I was an overachiever in that room and like got along great with the host and if it gets picked up, I think it'll be like a super fun project to work on. But like the producers started like trusting me for, I also had a lot of late night experience going into it, which I think helped a lot.
Right.
But just like being like super fucking eager to make something again, I think made me great at it.
And, oh, see, that's so cool. Yeah. I feel the same way. Like if I get a job and it's like 5 days in a row, by the fifth day, like I just like, even a job I didn't love, like I like wrote copy for a game show host for the a show on the Game Show Network, and I was like, even I didn't even love the job. It wasn't exactly my wheelhouse. It wasn't really comedy, but it was enough, and it was a payday, and it was going to a new job every day for like 11 days with new people, and in those 10 days, like I had like best sleep of my life. I would like get up on time. I'd be like, oh shit, if I wake up a half hour earlier, I can go for a run before I go. And then I'm like eating healthy, like avoiding stuff at Crafty. I'm like, oh my God, like I, maybe this is what I do need to save my life. And yeah. I'm like, not to put any more pressure on getting a job, but is this the only thing that's going to keep me alive? As
yeah,
well?
There's not, nothing gets you going like purpose.
Right. Yeah, it turns out. Who would have thought? Like, and now I was like, oh my God, is the only way I'm going to like, I think I need like regimen in that way. Like I need like scheduling, and I just refuse to do it. There's like I set my
I can't stick with it is the thing. I'll start. It's just like going to the gym or something. I'll start with the best intentions, and I'll just like slowly drift off of it as like, you know.
I recorded last week's episode a while ago, so forgive me if this story, if I told this on or off mic last week, but like. For a while, I was working out at 8 o'clock in the morning at with some buds and being back home and showered and ready by like 9:30, 10 o'clock. And I never felt like that physically good. And I wasn't even like back in shape.
Yeah.
I had just worked out for like 3 weeks in a row. And every one of those days that I worked out, like I couldn't see a difference, but I felt fundamentally better. Like I was more productive. My shitting was like reasonable. I ate better. I like slept better. Everything. I felt, I was like, oh, I'm back from the gym. I'm energized. And I was like, oh my God, I had this like harsh reality. I'm like, I'm 35 years old. And I'm like, I think I need to exercise in the morning in order to be successful at life.
Yeah.
And then I haven't been able to do it again. Like it isn't, that's what's wrong with me is that like, yeah, I even know I'm like, I would be truly better off if I could do this thing. And it's not like I'm like, and then I barely get to the gym. Instead, yeah. I have gone like 5 weeks without going. And I'm like, I just remember how good you like. And I
that's
did
the thing.
It.
It's right there. And I know exactly what I need to do. And it's so easy. It's
and
like
it's so easy.
Drink
and it's
less.
Necessary.
And, yeah.
Like, it's like, you don't realize how like, oh my God, it's like, as you keep getting older and older, it's like people are, you know, like old people, your friends with you, like they get into their 40s or their 50s and they're talking to you and you're like, yeah, no. And it's like all of a sudden you're talking to like people who are 10 years older than you who are in better shape and have their lives like, and like, what are you doing? It's like, I just realized I have to run every day or else I'm going to die. And you're like, oh, I know. So I know what I need to do.
Yeah.
And I can't even do like, and I think that's what the part of me, like, I think, when I say I need a productivity expert, is like, what I need is a therapist to be like, here's why you're not going to the fucking gym, dude. You have a block about about being an ex-athlete. I'm just therapizing myself.
I talked to a therapist. She's back in New York. I think she's fantastic, or else I would have started seeing somebody out here. And she already knows all my shit, so I don't want to start all over again with somebody else. But even she, I mean, she can only tell me that I should be doing it. She said, I need a therapist who will also like make me do it.
Yeah, I need a therapist who's like, hey, I was at the gym this morning, didn't see you there. Yeah, yeah. Or like, hey, you owe me 6 pages on that animated feature by tomorrow. You're like, wait, what?
That is the, I think setting, I think the people that I know who I feel like have it most figured out do set like page deadlines for themselves, and it does seem the part of me, there's part of me that like wants to
it
say
seems
like,
non-artistic,
that's fucking
right?
Arbitrary, or like, oh, so you're just gonna make sure you shit out like 6 pages of something, like, but you do need to fucking write. So like
at the end of the week, 30 pages of shit is better than,
yeah, and you can always, that's the thing, page, is like, yeah. And it's an instinct of mine that I have to fight, is that I want it to come out right the first time, but you have to kind of become okay with the fact that you can always change those 30 pages if they are shit. Like, you right. can go back and you can, yeah. And I,
as a matter of fact, even if you crush it 30 pages perfectly as you wanted to, someone's going to tell you what you need to change.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So, like, oh, just get comfortable with having to change.
Yeah. People who know less about what you're doing than you do will tell you that there's several problems with it. Even if
and you have really to like, listen to them because they're yeah. the only people that can get you the thing. Yeah,
yeah.
It's the only job where the people who don't do your job decide if you are good enough to do your job.
Absolutely.
Like, it's imagine like yeah, right. you were wanting to be a firefighter, and it's like, oh, who does the firefighter test? It's like a guy who wanted to be a firefighter growing up, but couldn't hack it, so now he's a firefighter teacher.
Yeah.
Like, and you're like, wait, what? And it's like, yeah, he's the like So what does he do? He's never been a firefighter. Yeah, but he has a good idea of what you need to, like, oh, so fuck funny. This.
It's
yeah.
also like, have you ever followed an agent or manager on like Twitter or something and seen what they think is funny? Like and yet somehow they are like the tastemakers for the entire.
It's kind of a weird thing. Like,
anyway, not my agents. They're great. Super hilarious guys.
Yeah. Not my agents. Not that they listen to this podcast or know I have a podcast or know my phone number. So no stress, UTA. Just hanging out. I'm here. Phone is not even on airplane mode. No one's contacting me. Well, hopefully we can have another episode where we discuss being employed. I mean, we kind of unemployment. I mean, you can't talk about unemployment without being.
It does feel like, it feels like I'm on the. It feels like, not to sound too optimistic or anything, but it sounds like I'm closer to being fine than I was earlier this year.
Yeah, so. I told anyone all my friends who move out here, I'm like, just don't expect anything to happen for like 9 to 12 months. Like, you have to kind of like.
Yeah,
it's LA, at least in my mind, has been better off than New York for work in this entertainment comedy world. But you kind of have to take 3 steps back to be able to start taking steps forward again.
Right. So,
and I just, no one in my head, I was like, coming out here, like, all of my friends happen to be people who moved out here and then got like very successful, not because they moved to LA, but because they were ready to anyway. But in my head, I was like, well, if I moved to LA, I'm gonna be on Happy Endings for 3 seasons. You know? And it's like, wait, it doesn't work like that. Oh, Adam Pally's actually markedly better at this than I am.
I'm okay, now imagining the entirety of Happy Endings with you as Max instead.
Yeah, it's the gay man. Hey, the fat jokes would have made sense. I hated that my most in shape, good looking friend was on TV being called the fat one, and I was like, well, I'll never make it in Hollywood. Like, if Adam Pally is getting fat jokes on his show, if I walked into the same cafe, what would they say? They would go like, holy shit, this fucking guy, we gotta help him, he's something wrong with him. We should just also end before we end is, like, we understand, like, this was the first world unemployment problems.
100%.
And I just want to let everyone know, as you
and
can tell
we,
on this podcast,
we both understand this.
When I have people on to talk about our favorite foods, we don't have to say like a blanket thing of like, and we understand people in the world don't have any food, so we shouldn't shit on French fries. But we should, like, unemployment sucks.
I agree. This is one straight white guy's experience.
Yeah, this
in
is
LA.
And this unemployment is specifically after a couple of years of good employment. Yeah. But we understand unemployment sucks, but harness it. Get shit done. Set your alarm. Get a dog. Learn to cook. Start doing chin-ups. Watch all of The Wire. Skip Tremé. I actually like Tremé a lot. But Chase, where can people find you on Twitter if they want to tweet at us unemployment hacks, or if you are a development exec looking to get
it? Yeah.
You're listening to this podcast as a development exec, what the fuck? How come you haven't called me yet? I have like 150 episodes.
I also love imagining a development exec where like this is what he was waiting to hear. Like, these guys really have it.
I guess I never thought of them as this guy's comedic talent. I just assume.
I'm at Chase Mitt.
C-H-A-S-M-I-T,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. And so tweet at us if you guys have any unemployment advice. Anything else you want to plug, Chase? You got anything?
That'll be it. Yeah, I'm waiting to hear about this one thing.
Right. It is funny. I've been unemployed for 9 months. You got anything to plug? Hey, asshole. You know the answer is no.
That's the phrase that I've probably said the most that makes me the most bummed out. I'm waiting to hear about this one thing. But if you know, there could be... Talk to me in about a month. There could be something very cool.
Parents and in-laws really remind you of how brutal that is when they're like, hey, didn't you say last week that there was like that really promising thing that could turn your whole life around? I'm like, yeah. They're like, what ended up happening with it? I was like, don't worry about it.
Yeah. Everybody there died, actually.
If I'm answering honestly, they went ethnic. Guys, as always, shitheads, thanks for listening. Rate me 5 stars, roast me in the comments. You could have your roast read out loud. Gabrus.com/shirts for shirts, and then just much like Chase, come back in like a month and I think I'll have some more stuff to plug. I fucking hope so. It's like New Year's Eve. Bye, shitheads. I am mighty. We'll be right back.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.